1 Peter, chapter number 4. I'd like to read this chapter and then back up and preach a little bit out of it tonight. The Bible said in verse number 1, "Forasmuch then," and that kind of ties it into the previous chapter where it talked about Christ going into heaven, the angels and authorities, powers being made subject unto him. And then it talked also about the suffering of the Lord in chapter number 3. But he said, "Forasmuch then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the times past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles," "when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange." Boy, that phrase got me today. I'll show you here in a minute. "Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sin." I tell you, that's a powerful verse right there. Amen. "Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters." How many found you got enough to take care of at your own house? Say amen. And the Bible said here, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" That's a good question. You know what? The Bible answers. We know what the end is going to be for those that obey not the gospel of God. It's in a four-letter word. It begins with H and ends with L. Amen? That's what the end is going to be for those that obey not the gospel of God. "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Same answer. "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator." How many believes he's faithful? His faithfulness is new. His mercy is new every morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for the privilege, Lord, to stand and read the Word of God. Father, I thank you that, Lord, we're not as many throughout the world that just have a page or two out of the Bible. But, Lord, we have a Bible from Genesis to Revelation, complete, inerrant, Lord, infallible, inspired. The Word of the living God, preserved, Lord, in this old King James Bible for the English-speaking people. God, we're grateful for it. We thank you for it. We pray, God, that you'd use it to speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, you told Timothy to preach the word. Lord, preachers have nothing else to preach. Lord, I pray tonight you'd help us to be faithful to the book. Help us, our Father, tonight to be faithful to our people. Help us to be faithful to our Lord. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would help us down in our hearts tonight. Because, Lord, we don't know who's going to need this message next. So I pray, God, we'd put it in our spiritual vault that we might be able to bank on it and glean from it in the days ahead. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. What I want to look at tonight for a little while is the rejoicing that the Bible said we're to do here. Look here, if you will, in verse number 13. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. I believe tonight that this is not an easy matter for the child of God. It's not something that comes naturally to rejoice in suffering. Amen. And by the way, we need to make sure that we're rejoicing in the right kind of suffering. I do know this tonight, that we can suffer because of sin. And we're not to rejoice in that kind of suffering. Amen. We're not to rejoice if our suffering is a result of evil doing. Amen. Or not obeying the Lord. Amen. But if we're suffering as a Christian, by the way, I believe Job's suffering would be a good example of that. That man was walking with God. That man was praying for his children. That man loved the Lord. Amen. That man knew where the blessings were coming from. Amen. And they couldn't find aught against him. Amen. But I tell you right now, God blessed him and God used him to teach us some things about suffering along the way. Let's look here tonight just at three things quickly. I've got several verses I want to look at down in these first few verses here, chapter 4, verse 1. Down through verse number 5, I've got several verses I want to look at. But let me break it down like this tonight. First of all, we can rejoice in our suffering when we understand. There's three things that we need to understand. The first thing, we need to understand our Savior and the saints. He is the saints' example in suffering. The Bible talked about in chapter number 3, the just for the unjust. Amen. The Bible said here in verse number 1 of chapter number 4, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. I believe that we ought to know tonight that with Christianity comes suffering. Now that's completely contrary to what a lot of TV evangelists preach. Say amen right there. The Bible said, yea, all them that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen. I believe there's a lot being done in our land today that would like to set the church aside and like to make the Word of God null and void. They don't want any absolutes in morality. They don't want any absolutes in the law. They want everything to be relative. Amen. And I believe with all my heart, God's Word is still absolute. God meant what He said. God said what He meant. And He said, I am the Lord. I change not. Amen. And so for us as God's people, we see the example in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me think about a verse over here, see if I can find it. I believe it's over in the book of Philippians. We'll get to it after a while in the book of Philippians in our study on Wednesday night. But Paul said here that I may know Him in chapter 3 and verse number 10. How many understands that Christ that Paul already knew Christ as his Savior? When he wrote this, I mean, he wasn't saying I'm a sinner and I need to know Christ as my Savior. No, no, no. He's saying God has already saved me, but I want to know Him. I want to know Him in a more intimate way. I want to walk with Him in closer fellowship. Watch what he said here. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Everybody likes that. I'm telling you, we ought to be walking in the abundant life, in the power of His resurrection. But He didn't stop there. He said, I don't want to just know Him in the power of His resurrection. But He said, I want to know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings.
My. Oh, one of the writers, I can't remember, it might have been Job, said, shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not receive evil? Amen. I believe with all of my heart, listen, that if we understand the example that Christ has set forth, that will help us in our suffering. Amen. I tell you, if these young'uns go to school and they live for God and they don't tell the dirty jokes and they don't look at the dirty pictures and they get out of that crowd, amen, I believe somebody will make fun of them. You say, what's going to help them along the way? I'll tell you what will help them. Just realize they was making fun of somebody a whole lot better than us a long time before they were making fun of us, amen. And I believe, by the way, if we live for God the way we should, somebody's not going to like it, amen. And we're going to suffer because of it. Watch this now. I believe in verse number 1, there's some things being taught here. There's an example in our suffering. Jesus set the example. The Savior, we see the saints' example in suffering. He suffered the just for the unjust. But in the Scripture, we see the saints' exhortation in suffering. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Watch this now. He said, arm yourselves likewise. In other words, Christ suffered, now you're going to suffer. Arm yourself. No wonder the Bible said put on the whole armor of God. Amen. How many realizes every day when we get out of bed, we're headed into battle? I'm going to tell you something. When you get up and you go out and you don't realize that, you're in trouble. Amen. We're headed into battle. I'm telling you, beloved friend, we're not in a picnic as God's people. We're in a war. We're in a battle. Amen. I've already read the last book, the last chapter, the last verse, and I know that we win in the end. Amen. But listen to me. God wants us to win along the way as well as win in the end. Amen. The Bible said, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen. I believe He wants us through our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's important. Our exhortation. Look at verse number 1. He said, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind that he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You say, preacher, what's he talking about? Look at Romans with me just a minute. I know we'll be turning in our Bible, but that's okay. It'll help us, I believe. In the book of Romans, in chapter number 6, we'll see what he's talking about. The Bible said, what shall we say then in verse 1? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Two words. God forbid. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You see, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? I'm telling you, my friend, listen. The Bible says that you and I, as God's people, are supposed to reckon ourselves indeed dead unto sin. How many's ever heard this statement? We need to crucify the old flesh. How many's heard that? I'm not trying to set you up. I've even preached that. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You got a problem with that. Watch this. I could nail my feet. I could do that if we're talking about crucifying. I could nail my feet. And I'm right-handed, so I would prone. How many's ever took a claw hammer, turned it sideways in a place where you can't reach, hold the nail back here and bump it to start it? How many's ever done that? You can do that. You can bump it and start it and then reach out there because you can't get both hands out there. That's a dangerous place on the ladder, by the way. Amen. But we've all done it. That's done any carpenter work. Amen. I can nail my feet. I can nail this hand. But what do I do with this hand? Listen, the Bible doesn't teach us, my friend, that we ought to crucify ourselves. The Bible teaches us that because we're saved, we're identified with His death, His burial, and His resurrection, that we're to, my friend, reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Amen. I believe that's important that we see that. Amen. The devil would like for us to spin our wheels and spend the rest of our life trying to crucify. The Bible said they have crucified the flesh and the lust thereof. In other words, it's done at Calvary. We got to identify with what went on at Calvary. Amen. My friend, we can't do it ourselves. But thank God. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. He didn't say I'm crucified myself with Christ. He said, I am. In other words, that was his position, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But he said, Christ liveth in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I believe that's important tonight. Amen. Look at Colossians just a moment. The book of Colossians chapter 3. I'm looking them up as we go. I didn't mark them. Maybe that'll give you enough time to find them along the way tonight too. In Colossians chapter 3. We're talking about rejoicing. We can rejoice in our suffering when we understand the Savior is the saint's example in suffering. When we understand the Scripture is the saint's exhortation in suffering. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3 and verse number 5, the Bible said here, "For ye are dead." See, it's already done. You're dead. And he said, "Your life is hid with Christ in God." In verse number 5, he said, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them." But it's, my friend, understood in the Word of God, we don't walk there anymore. We don't live in that mess anymore. My friend Paul said, listen, he listed a lot of things, idolaters and adulterers and effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind. He looked at the church of Corinth and he said, "Such were some of you, but you're washed, you're justified, you're sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus." Amen. And so if we understand our exhortation in suffering, that, my friend, we're dead indeed unto sin. We're to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin. And, my friend, reckon ourselves alive unto God. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. I think we read that this morning, but it would be good to read it again. The Bible said, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." I tell you, thank God for the new man. We can walk after the new man. In verse number 2 here, he said that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Look at Romans again, chapter 6 and verse number 11. I believe it's important that we see this truth tonight. In Romans chapter 6 and verse number 11, the Bible said, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Watch this now. "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." One man's talking one time about the thoughts. You know, he said, I have these thoughts that go through my mind. I'll tell you, my friend, if you've spent years in wickedness like many have, say amen. Them thoughts go through your mind. Them images go through your mind. And somebody said this. I thought it was a good way to explain it. He said, "I can't keep a bird from flying over my head, but thank God I can keep that bird from building a nest in my hair." I tell you, my friend, we don't need to let sin build a nest in our hair, amen, or in our head, or in our heart. As far as that goes, I believe God is saying, reckon yourselves dead indeed unto sin. I don't belong to that mess anymore. Amen. My friend, God is telling us here, look at verse 3. He said, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked." You see that? Somebody tell me what tense that word is, walked. That's past tense. Every one of us has a past. Some of us' past is more ugly than others. Say amen. But I'll tell you what, in the eyes of God, every sinful past is ugly and the ground is level at the foot of the cross. The Bible said if a man offends in one point of the law, he's guilty of the whole law. That's what the Word of God said. Oh, my friend, I worry about people that get up and brag on their past. I want to brag on my Savior. Hallelujah. I want to brag not, my friend, on the pit that he brought me out of, but the one that brought me out of it. Amen. Thank God he brought me out of it. Thank God he brought you out of it. If you're still in that pit, he wants to rescue you. Amen. Some of my old westerns I used to watch, I tell you, they had that stuff called quicksand. Amen. And that horse would get in it. Sometimes that man would get in it. He'd get thrown, or he'd be going along. He'd end up in quicksand. And you know, they would have a rope and they'd tie it to the horn on that saddle, and they would throw it, amen, out there into that, to that man, and drag that man out of that quicksand. I'm glad, thank God, the rope of grace was thrown out to me when I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. Thank God the Master threw the rope, amen. I took hold of Him. He took hold of me. And thank God rescued me. The Bible talks about our past. In the times past, our life may suffice us to rob the will of the Gentiles. We walked past heads in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Watch verse number 4. He said, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. This is a verse that backs up something that I have said for years and didn't know that the Bible would back it up like that. I've said for years, if a man, a woman, a young man, a young woman, if a boy or a girl gets saved by the grace of God, you will not have to leave that old crowd. If you will live for God and let your light shine, that old crowd will leave you, buddy. I'll tell you right now, that old crowd don't want no part of that. They think it's strange, amen. They think it's strange. Some of them will poke fun. They'll say things like, well, we'll see how long it lasts. You know what's sad? Some people call themselves Christians is in that boat too. Somebody gets saved, instead of my friend determining to come alongside of them and help them, amen, they stand back and say, well, we'll see if they really got it. I'm going to tell you what, they know if they got it. God knows if they got it. And my friend, we ought to just take them at their word and help them along the way, amen. I believe with all of my heart, God is saying if we want to suffer and be able to rejoice, we need to look at the example, but we need to look at the exhortation in suffering, amen. You say, preacher, what else do you see here? I've left off probably 25 or 30 verses of Scripture tonight. That's okay. I'm just trying to mind the Lord. Amen. I see here tonight in our suffering, if we're going to rejoice. And by the way, remember those two words when we started 1 Peter? One of those words means jumping up and down. That Greek word for rejoice, jumping up and down with gladness. That's not the words that's used in this chapter. When we're suffering, God don't expect us to be jumping up and down with gladness. But on the inside, that's that inner peace, amen? That's knowing that God's in control. That's that happiness down on the inside, amen? That brings glory to an almighty God, amen? Realizing, my friend, if you get bad news at the doctor, you're not supposed to jump up and down, amen? And praise the Lord, but down inside there ought to be a peace that passes all understanding, amen. Like that missionary that was going to be burned. I tell you, there ought to be a peace, glory to God, a grin on our face. I've often said about John the Baptist, I wonder if when they brought his head on that platter, if his tongue wasn't stuck out. Amen. I just wonder if John didn't say, you thought you hurt me, but you just helped me over to the other side. Amen. My friend, listen, death for the child of God is an entrance into God's presence. Amen. And we should not fear. We should not fear. The Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. Oh, thank the Lord tonight. Let me give you something tonight. Watch this now. There's a difference in the saints and the sinners. They think it's strange. But down here, Peter said, for us, beloved, verse 12, think it not strange. Concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. Let me say this again. I've said this before. There's never an opportunity to let our light shine as great as when we're suffering for the cause of Christ. Are you listening? Amen. There's never a greater, the world looks at us, everything's good, the bills are paid, the cupboards are full, we're in good health. That doesn't have much of an impact on them, amen? But you let the bottom fall out in some child of God's life, amen? And you let them go on and praise the Lord anyway. You let them go on and rejoice in their suffering, amen? And the world will say, what in the world is the matter with them? I tell you, it's not what in the world's the matter with them. It's what's out of this world's the matter with them. They've done got a glimpse of somebody besides themselves and somebody beside their suffering. There's an example in suffering. There's an exhortation in suffering. I thought about that difference there, and I thought about Psalm. Listen, Psalm 1, I believe. Let me see if I can get it started. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's a blessed man. And that's happy. How happy? That's a happy man. Amen. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Listen to this. The ungodly are not so. Amen. You got three verses talking about the blessed man. But then the Bible said, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. There's always been a difference between saints and sinners. And there always will be. Amen. There always will be. Oh, my friend, the Bible shows us an example in suffering. And the Bible shows us our exhortation in suffering. We see the example in our Savior. We see the exhortation in the Scripture. But I want you to see this. We see the end in suffering. Where'd you see that? In the second coming of our Lord. He said, preacher, I don't see the second coming. Look at verse number 5. Who shall give an account? Guess who's going to give an account? Watch this. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? My friend, there's two judgments being described right there. The judgment seat of Christ is for the quick. That's for us that are alive in Christ. But I tell you what, when he judges the dead, that's the great white throne judgment. The dead are going to stand before him. Amen. Small and great. You say, preacher, what's going to happen in suffering? I tell you what, one day it's going to end. And the Bible said in the book of Isaiah, the trees of the field will clap their hands. I tell you, thank God. Listen, my friend, the child, my friend can lay down and play on the hole of an asp. And the lion can lay down, or the lamb can lay down with a lion. Now, my friend, the Prince of Peace is coming. He's going to set up his kingdom. And I tell you, thank God, suffering for the children of God will be over. Amen. Then we'll be with him forever in that place where there's no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sickness. I don't know about you. I think Paul got it right when he said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. That's a man that had been caught up into the third heaven and saw things that were unlawful to be uttered, not lawful to be uttered. He knew what he was talking about. He said, what's over yonder is not worthy to be compared with the suffering that we're going through down here. Oh, hallelujah. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. I shall look on his face, the one who saved me by his grace. I personally believe I'll get a better look at his feet before I get a look at his face. I think it's fair enough if John fell at his feet, he's dead. Amen. Glory to God. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And if he fell at his feet, he's dead. Why would we expect to do any different? Hallelujah. What a blessing. The end of suffering. The Bible said in verse number 5, he's going to judge the quick and the dead. Look at verse number 7. Listen to me tonight, church, please. Let the Holy Ghost speak to our hearts right here. But the end of all things is at hand. How many believes that tonight? My. CNN ain't going to say nothing about it. NBC ain't going to say nothing about it. ABC, Fox News ain't going to say nothing about it. But I'm going to tell you something right now. The end is an end. By the way, some of them news anchors, amen, on Fox News, listen to me. I like the news, but I'm telling you what, if you'll listen to them, if they're talking about God in any way, shape, or form, they think they're earning their way into heaven. they think they deserve. They'll talk about them ungodly sinners not realizing they're one of them themselves. My friend, if you bypass Calvary, you'll split hell wide open. I don't care what you call it. If you bypass the cross and you're never born again, you'll split hell wide open. I'm afraid, Brother Rose, there's a lot of them think because they're giving to this charity or they're buying wheelchairs or they're doing this or they're doing that. I'm telling you, my friend, listen, if you believe what Catholicism teaches, you'll not go. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. I'll tell you tonight, the end of suffering is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. God said to us, be sober. It's serious. It's serious to think. We have children that aren't ready to go. We have grandchildren that aren't ready to go. It's serious to think we have neighbors that aren't ready to go. It's serious to think broad is the gate. Many going that way leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leadeth to life eternal. Few there be that find it. It's sobering. It's sobering. You know, Brother Grizzle, the world bound to think it's strange that people would take a tenth of their income and then some and give to churches like this. That they would give to missions so others could hear about Jesus. I had my grandsons in the back of the car the other day. Took Megan down and my grandsons last Sunday down to Zaxby's to eat. Had my grandsons in the back of the car. I told Megan, you just drive my car and I'll drive yours. We were just going to the cookout for a milkshake. That ain't far. She said, oh, no. She wasn't going to drive that big car. She got a Honda, amen. And so she put the car seats over in mine. We get going down the road. Boy, you can learn a lot from grandchildren. Yeah. Amen. Get going down the road and little Bryson, he's not even 3 years old yet. He said, Papa, I like your car. I said, I do too, honey. I said, this is the car the church gave me. They got this car for me. He said, why? And Lucas, you know, the seven-year-old, he spoke up. He said, because he tells them about Jesus, Bryson. Bryson said, why? That's just like the world. They wonder why. They're not 3 years old, though. Say amen. They wonder why. Why we do what we do. I'll tell you, I'm glad I know why. The end had. Can I tell you the answer to the why? He's worthy. He's worthy. Let's keep talking to him in prayer. Let's keep talking about him to others. Amen. Let's keep lifting him up in song. Why? Because he's worthy tonight. He's worthy of all honor and all glory. Let's keep sending the missionaries. Let's keep helping somebody else hear the blessed old story. Why? Because he's worthy. By the way, he has commanded us to. Amen. I don't see where it's optional. Maybe you do, but I don't. He said, go ye into all the world and preach and teach the gospel. How are they going to preach unless they be sent? That's what the Word of God said. Amen. Some go, others send, but the gospel goes out. Amen. I'll tell you, one day soon, suffering will end for the child of God. But suffering, like no one has ever imagined, is going to begin for that one that dies without Christ, for that one that enters into the tribulation, having had the Holy Ghost deal with their heart about their sin and having rejected Christ as their Savior, suffering is going to begin. Now, I'm not real smart, but I know which is the best end of that right there. I'll take a little now and none in the hereafter rather than none now and all of it be suffering in the hereafter. Think about this. It's not original with me. I heard it years ago. But the worst, the very worst a child of God will ever experience will be in this life.
Amen.
Think about that now. Just let that sink in a minute.
Amen.
Then think about this. The very best that somebody that's lost will ever experience, the very best is right now in this life. That's quite a contrast. For us, the best is yet to come. But for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl that's not saved, and Christ has dealt with their heart, the worst is yet to come. I honestly believe tonight, and I know I've said this in your hearing before, Paul got to see what was up there. God let him have a little window into glory. I believe that would change us if we had a little window into glory. But I tell you what I believe would change us more is a little window into hell. Get down on our knees. I don't know, Brother Ralph, if we could take 15 seconds of it or not. I don't know what we wouldn't jump up and plug our ears and run. I don't know if we could take it or not. I don't know if we could keep our eyes open or not. No doubt, my mom and dad's brothers and sisters have begun to die. You know, everybody wants to believe that everybody's saved when it comes that time. But I'm going to tell you what, the life don't always reflect it. Now, they're in the hands of a just God. I'm not judging them. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You better believe it. Ain't nobody ever slipped in over yonder. Amen. They all come through the door. Jesus said, I am the door. But I tell you, it would hurt me to look down there tonight and see someone that I recognize. See someone that maybe I crossed paths with, but was too busy to tell them about Jesus. I'm telling you, that's sobering tonight. Sobering tonight. Sobering tonight. Suffering for the children of God. I personally believe soon will be over. Peter said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. I wonder what Abraham thought when God said, take now thy son, thy only son. I don't know, but I know this. He was obedient. I believe he raised that knife in complete, perfect faith. I believe he aimed to kill him. Because the book of Hebrews said that he, Abraham, judged him, God, faithful, and that he was able to raise him from the dead. I believe Abraham intended to stick him, stand back, say, okay, God, you said that's the seed. Now what are you going to do? Amen. Oh, God, give me some of that faith. That's what I say tonight. Amen. Give us some of that faith to pray and believe God and get a hold of God in this generation. Suffering for us is soon to be over. That ought to sober us up. But all the suffering for this lost world, oh, my friend, it ain't looking pretty, is it? Amen. I looked at the news, and I see them cutting their heads off. I see all those Christians trapped up on that mountain. I'm going to tell you something right now. It'd change if that was your mommy or daddy up there, your brother or sister up there. But I'll tell you this. Well, by the way, we ought to be praying for Christians that are persecuted, and they are. In this world right now, there are Christians being persecuted, preachers being persecuted. We ought to pray, amen, that God would help them in their suffering. And we ought to pray that God would help us to suffer, not as an evildoer, not as a busybody, but to suffer as a Christian. Count it glory to be counted worthy to suffer for His name's sake. I appreciate you tonight. I appreciate the truth of the Word of God. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air coming after you and me. Joy is ours to share.
what rejoicing there will be when the saints shall fly over yonder. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many believes we're to practice on the way? Let's practice that rejoicing on the way. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be here in the house of God. Thank you, God, tonight for the book of 1 Peter. Thank you, God, tonight for teaching us some things concerning suffering. You let us see an example tonight in our Savior. Lord, there's other examples in the saints. Some of them we touched on this morning in the Word of God. Lord, you let us see that exhortation. God, you want us to, Lord, to suffer, but not as those that do evil. You want us to, Lord, to suffer affliction like Moses with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. God, I know sin's season is short. I pray, God, you'd help us to realize that for the child of God, our season here on earth is very short. If we live to be 100 years old, Lord, the season is short. I pray, Lord, for Brother Merv tonight, Sister Emma. Lord, you just brought them to my heart and mind. Lord, I know, Lord, they're not feeling well today. I pray you'd bless them. Pray you'd help them and strengthen them. God, I pray that tonight, if we're called on to suffer, help us to do it with the joy of God in our heart. Help us, Lord, to be able to have enough Scripture hidden in our heart. Lord, that we wouldn't even need a Bible to stay busy, just running over the Scripture. You said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee because he trusteth in Thee." You said, Lord, that all things, and we know all things, work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according, my friend, to that purpose. Thank you, Lord, you have a purpose for our life. I pray, God, tonight that you would strengthen the brethren, save the lost. God, if there's somebody here tonight lost, help them, Lord, not to go out that door lost. If there's somebody here tonight suffering, God, I pray you'd encourage them in their suffering. Help us to look forward to and long for the day when you'll come and take us home. God, we're strangers. We're strange to this world, but we're strangers in this world. We're pilgrims. We're just passing through. Lord, this world's not our home. Lord, I thank you that our real home is up there on high. Help us never to forget that and to live for eternity and not just for time. In Jesus' name.